Greetings, I'm Chad DeVries from Prescott Luxury Realty and Investments, and I am thrilled to extend a warm invitation to you. Join us at Solstice Ridge 2 in Prescott Lakes, an exclusive gated community that redefines luxury living. Tour our model homes and receive a free VIP pass to our upcoming April 28th spectacular private event from 3 to 5 p.m. featuring the world-renowned Spanish guitarist Esteban. Tickets are limited and are on a first-come, first-served basis. Go to our website, solsticeridgeprescott.com, or call 928-764-7581 for further information. The following commentary program is paid for by Ian Prescott and is solely responsible for its content.
Ladies and gentlemen of Prescott, it's time for a change. We, the people of this vibrant community, demand honest, upfront communication. And now your hosts, Tony Hamer and Chad DeVries.
Well, good afternoon, everybody. We're very lucky, very fortunate to have Scott Freetag in the studio today. And he is the head of the CAFMA organization, which is our Central Arizona Fire organization. And covers a lot of territory. How much territory do you cover?
Oh, thank you for having me this morning. We cover 369 square miles, and we have a population, a resident population, just under 107,000. So we're the largest emergency response agency in Yavapai County. And if you figure we have about 260,000 people in Yavapai County, wow. Just under 107,000 of those are served by us.
Wow. Wow, that's a big responsibility you have, Scott. How long have you been in place now?
10.5 years.
Right. Has it been good?
It has been. I've been blessed to be here. I love the area. I love the people that I get to work with, the people that I get to, I can't say that I get to protect them. I just get to facilitate for the folks who provide the services.
You've got a team.
Right. Yeah. I have a great team.
Throughout that area, how many fire stations do you have throughout the county?
Right now, we have 10 24-hour stations. We have one 40-hour station, and then we have two reserve stations. We own a piece of property on Sarah Jane Lane for a potential future station, right. And we just closed on a piece of property at Santa Fe Loop and Glassford Hill Road, a little commercial piece for a future fire station.
Great. We need stuff up in the north, don't we? I know
when we
look at Prescott here, you know, you have to worry about the airport and related areas. It's pretty sparse.
Absolutely. And the reason that we purchased Glassford Hill and Santa Fe Loop, not just because of its current location, but I worked very closely with Chief Dura with Prescott Fire Department on where the city plans to put their next fire station, their new one.
Good.
Right.
And so we based our location on where they were putting theirs, and we coordinated together.
Good.
See, that's what I love about up here, like even talking to Chief Bonnie and how they coordinate with the sheriff and Prescott Valley. And it's great that you guys can cross the line and help each other. It really is.
We absolutely do. And we have a great relationship with our law enforcement partners as well. Sure. We have a ride-along program for them so they can live out their dream. You know, 10 points higher on the recruit testing, and they could have been firefighters, but just didn't make it. That's for Chief Bonnie.
There you go.
He'll appreciate that. I just talked with Chief Bonnie last night. But while I'm thinking of it, you know, we've got these two fire districts. You've got Prescott and you've got CAFMA here. Why don't you guys integrate and form one entity?
So
have you ever looked at that?
You can look at it, but we're two different types of governmental agencies. So the city of Prescott Fire Department is a municipal fire department.
Right.
Central Arizona Fire and Medical Authority is currently made up of two fire districts that created a fire authority. So our governing structure and our taxing structure are completely different than the city fire department.
Right.
It wouldn't make sense for the city to get rid of their city fire engines and fire apparatus. And it wouldn't make sense for us to try to become a municipal agency, because then we would take ours, break it off into a whole bunch of different chunks, and it would actually cost more money. So the only way for a city department or a city agency and a fire district to work together is to form a fire authority with an umbrella elected body that oversees it. It gets very complicated. And then when you look at the history of the city of Prescott, the Prescott Fire Department is the oldest fire department in the state.
Right.
So there's a lot of history there. There's a lot of tradition. There's a lot of pride.
Some of our fire stations
are the oldest.
It seems like it.
They got rid of the horses, though. So I feel bad for them.
We're very thankful to see the support that Chief Dura has in the city for the Prescott Fire Department. With him coming in, he's really brought data to the table. He's gone into all of their background, all of their statistical data, performed analysis, and he's able to provide for the city something they really hadn't had before. And that's, here's exactly where we're at, and here's all of the details and information that shows that.
Right.
Here's where we think we should be based on current population, all of this. And it really makes sense.
Well, when we met with him during our campaign, I mean, we were really impressed with him because he actually had a plan. That's why we were impressed with Katie Gregory when she was the city manager, because, you know, planning is everything. And what he laid out on the table, we're just like, wow, he's very impressive.
He is absolutely dialed, and him and I have become very close since he's been here, which has allowed us to do a lot of really good things for the communities.
Cool.
And one of which I'll just point out real quick, we're using a new program in dispatch. It's a move-up module. So a move-up is when, let's say, Station 54 in Dewey gets a call. Well, we would always just move an engine up to the Maverick there at Fane Road and 69.
Right.
Now, why would we do that? It seemed like the right thing to do. That's pretty much it. The software that we've deployed now looks at time of day, day of year, day of week, and then analyzes the data, the historical data, and determines whether a move-up is necessary or not.
Right.
And we've seen more than 50% reduction in those move-ups, which creates a far more efficient system just in the few months we've had it in place.
And that's based on historic data as well.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yeah. It uses some level of AI to figure all of that out, but it's really making a difference. So there's some other things that we're working on. We hope to have out and working in, I think, May or June for a true emergency medical dispatch system through Prescott Regional Communications Center. And these things are possible because of the relationship that Chief Dura and I have together.
Super.
We're able to do a lot more for the community.
You know, keep that relationship going. We appreciate it.
Absolutely.
We as citizens really do.
Well, and that's the number one thing people are concerned about is public safety.
Right.
I mean, between police, fire, and I mean, those are number one. And, you know, I know they're talking about raising the sales tax, but we have to do something, especially for Prescott,
right,
to get those stations built.
But I still have a nasty feeling at the back of my throat on that one. Here's the number one priority in the city. It's fire and police.
Right.
Very clear. Public surveys, anybody you talk to. Why is it the last to get funded? That doesn't make any sense to me. You fund the highest priority first. So if anybody from city council's listening, please, guys, let's do things logically.
Well, especially with the growth that we have, especially in that North Prescott area.
So. Yeah, there's a lot of growth out there. And when we look at our funding structure as Central Arizona Fire and Medical, we are property tax based. That's it. That's all we get.
Right.
And so when we look to infrastructure, as I said, we closed on a piece of property for a fire station.
Sure.
But a fire station today is $10 to $12 million in today's dollars.
Right.
There's no way within our general revenue funding that we can generate enough revenue to build that.
Right.
So our only other option would be to consider a general obligation bond in a couple of years to build infrastructure. Otherwise, I can't add it.
Right. Got it. Let me maybe move us a little bit in direction. You've recently had a huge fire over in Prescott Valley, the Legado apartments over there. You know, absolutely incredible fire from what we saw even the next day.
Right.
I know you saw it a lot closer to that the day before. What did you and your team learn coming out of that fire? What are your learnings, your history that you try now to imply to the rest of the fire service?
So I think we really need to start with what did we learn prior to the fire?
Okay, good.
So our training division, recognizing the mid-rise construction that's happening in both Prescott Valley, they shifted some of our training to focus more on mid-rise level fire training. Hose management in mid-rise buildings. Thankfully, Fane Signature allowed us great access to Legato throughout the build so that our folks could train. Our people knew that building inside and outside. They knew where fire hydrants were outside. They spent a lot of time really working with that building.
Great.
So the morning of the fire, take a step back again, our battalion chief that day was actually a fill-in battalion chief, operational battalion chief. Our training chief had taken a shift as the battalion chief. And Sunday, as part of just his daily routine, he drove the Legato apartment complex just to get a feel for where are the hydrants, what does this look like? Hey, if we had a big fire here today, what would we do? And so they did a lot of things
up front.
Serendipity? Sounds like it. Wow.
You know, and those those are things that our battalion chiefs do on a regular basis. They go to those buildings, drive them, they take a look at them, and they tabletop with the crews. If this were to happen, what steps would we take? And when you look at the first 10 company officers on that fire, both in Central Arizona Fire Medical and with Prescott Fire Department, I think Prescott's first and ladder captain had been a captain for 8 weeks. Right. So basically 2 minutes. Our first in engine
freshly trained.
Freshly trained. Our first in engine company captains both have less than 2 years on and one has less than 3 years on, but they made great tactical decisions up front that protected surrounding buildings. Sure. Because, right, the first in units were faced with the top two floors of every wing on fire. And then the wing that the fire actually started in, there were multiple floors, more than just the top two.
Right.
So they were faced with a situation that there's no way that we're going to save any of this building, but we have to protect the surrounding commercial properties and the neighboring apartment complex that does have people living in it.
Right, right. What do you think was the cause of the fire? Any top three candidates or?
So all we can really say about the cause of the fire is that based on the investigation by the Joint Task Force, which included Prescott Valley PD, the ATF's National Response Team, as well as CAFMA's Fire Prevention Division.
Right.
The fire is incendiary. Incendiary is a word that we use in fire investigations. Under Arizona state statute, it's arson. So someone lit that fire. How they did it, we don't know yet, but we have enough evidence to show that someone lit the fire off.
Well, sir. An accelerator used as well, or was it?
I can't comment on that at this point in time. But the ATF did a lot of investigation.
It was a good question.
It was a good question. We do have a suspect.
Yes.
I want to say identified. We know the general build of the individual and the type of shoes and size shoe, but the suspect involved in both Bradshaw Mountain and Legato was dressed in all black, had a black mask, black glasses, black gloves. Black backpack.
He'd done some planning, hadn't he?
Very hard to see features other than...
Yeah, the GoPro on his head, so...
6 foot to 6 foot three with a size 12 boot and very nimble.
Don't look at me, Hamer.
You know what?
I was at my mom's at Easter, okay?
I know we're not supposed to profile, but I can tell you that all of us find ourselves looking around at younger men who are tall with big feet going, I wonder if that's...
that's the guy.
That's it.
or girl, I guess.
Right?
How is that investigation piece of it going? Who's leading the charge in terms of the arsonist?
At this point, it would be Prescott Valley PD. They're being assisted by the ATF. And I do want to point out, because we live in an area that is distrusting of the federal government.
Yeah.
And for good reason, generally. But I have to give a shout out to the ATF and their folks. They really came in, worked in collaboration, very collaboratively with all parties, worked as a team, very communicative in their time on the ground here. So completely different than what I would have anticipated from a federal group coming in, a federal team, but they were fantastic partners to work with.
That's
great. We were over there the next day and it was still, you guys were still putting it out. And we were at one of the restaurants across the street and the ATF was in there getting camera footage and stuff like that. It seemed like they were really on top of everything. I think it was really well coordinated as far as the response.
Yes.
I mean, from some of the video I saw the night right when it happened and then seeing what was going on the next day, especially with the embers the size of, I mean, there was chunks of wood, I mean, in
significant
Finley parking lot, Fry's, and I think even stuff went down to, they found it over, what's that community down the street?
Granville.
Yeah, Granville. I mean, very, very lucky that we had that rain. I mean, really.
We were very fortunate that night for several reasons. One, the wind was blowing west instead of east, so it was blowing the fire more away from Homestead Apartments. And then that little bit of rain gave us enough moisture to kind of wet things down. We would have had a much bigger problem had it been a month from April 1st where it was dry, winds would be more erratic. The good thing is, and this is something I want to point out because some people in the community have said, hey, our fire departments don't have enough resources for these types of buildings. We showed that night that we do because when you look at the resources that were surrounding Legato and protecting the other properties, those were all CAFMA and Prescott units. We used one ladder truck from Cottonwood. Otherwise, the other countywide, statewide mutual aid units that responded up simply backfilled our stations to handle the normal 911 calls.
Super, super. So that whole planning piece worked well and your previous plans with the other entities worked well and it integrated essentially.
It absolutely did. And I've served on the statewide mutual aid committee for the last 8 or 9 years since we revived it, redid the plan, created a lot more relationships as we built that plan out. So when I got to the incident command post sometime around 1:30 in the morning, 1:40, I took a quick survey of the number of units we had there, and I was assisting the battalion chief who was in command, and we made a quick call for countywide mutual aid, and then when that didn't respond fast enough, I made a call for statewide mutual aid.
Right.
Just to give one of the statewide mutual aid coordinators a heads up, I reached out to Assistant Chief Tim Kreis with Phoenix Fire, who always answers my call when I ring him. And at, 1:45 in the morning, he answered the phone and said, "We've got it covered. Just, we let the system work," and it worked. But
right.
Wow.
Here's the thing, and I'm just going to put this out here for people, and I plan on using this quite a bit in the coming months as we talk to elected officials and we put this information on our podcast. There's a lot of folks in the community that speak out against development projects and use the fire department as the reason that the project shouldn't move forward,
right.
Saying the fire department doesn't have the resources.
Yep. Right.
And I will just put this out there for all of our elected officials. Unless you hear from me or one of my designees that we do not have the resources to handle a development that's being built, then disregard any of the other noise.
Right.
And to folks out there, if you don't like development, that's fine. That's your choice. That's your opinion. Please don't pin that on the fire department. I speak for the fire department.
Great. Great.
No, that's great.
And you're involved in the planning process.
Absolutely.
In terms of signing off on designs, et cetera.
Yes, 100%. Yeah.
So on the Legado apartments, is there anything that from a building and architectural standpoint could have been done better?
Not really. In this, because of the stage
except to build it out of something non-combustible.
Right. Yeah. Right? Use tilt-up concrete construction.
Yeah.
Well, it's the big way to go, isn't it?
It is. But when you look, even when you drive down to Phoenix and you look around North Phoenix, you see a lot of structures very similar to the Legato going up, and they're wood. And once completed and they have sprinkler systems, the buildings are fine.
Right.
There's no issues. They're engineered. They're strong. In this situation, there was nothing Fain's signature, nothing that their contractors, nothing that their subcontractors could have done differently to prevent
this. Good.
This was a human caused fire. Somebody lit it on purpose.
Right.
And
right.
We just need to catch that suspect.
So what do you translate into your team going forward from here, from the Legado fire? What are the changes that you might want in terms of security, in terms of code, in terms of design?
So I think one of the things that we would recommend, especially to contractors that are building large structures like Touchmark or some of the other apartment complexes going in, security cameras are great.
Right.
Having security on site is better.
Right.
And so we highly recommend. And right now, the arsonist is still out there. Mm-hmm. So for all of those large construction projects, if you don't already have security on site, we highly recommend that you do and that you go out and find a security company to watch your site for you.
So there was no on-site security at Legado?
Correct. And to my understanding, most of the large construction projects up here do not have security on site.
Well, and like even with cameras, he was in black, and I mean, you're not going to recognize any face or anything anyhow. So,
Well, even with the stepped up security, somehow he was able to break back into the high school again and cause more damage and try to light a fire.
I was talking to Mayor Palguda about that, and he said there was police officers in the area, there was a SWAT team in the area, and he was able to get in there and get out real quick, and it's unbelievable.
Well, we have since then, we have increased police presence when our crews respond to alarm soundings or structure fires. And the reason for that is when the fire crews are responding to those types of incidents, their focus is, do I see smoke? Do I see fire? What are the building conditions? They're not also checking to see, do I see somebody hiding around the corner?
Right.
So when the police are responding in with us, they're looking at from the security perspective while we focus on the call that we're responding to. Again, we have great partnerships. PVPD was very willing to do that with us. So you see the system and the relationships working. In terms of what our next steps are, we talked about the need for a second ladder truck in CAFMA's jurisdiction for several years now. So on our board meeting agenda in April, we have an agenda item for us to be able to purchase a second aerial apparatus or ladder truck. It'll be a smaller single axle, kind of like what you see the city of Prescott in right now.
Yep.
And we will take one of our existing engine companies, transition them to a full-time ladder company. It makes sense. We've talked about it for a number of years. it's time that we move forward.
Does it
with
take
that.
Time? Like, I know Chief Bonnie, when she orders police vehicles, it could be a year. It could be, you know, I know with ambulances, it was a couple of years. Does it take that long to get one? It
takes 3 to 4 years, typically, unless we buy a demo. And demos are released the first of every month. So what we're looking for is permission, if we find the appropriate demo from the manufacturer that we use, to go ahead and make that purchase and get that aerial today rather than waiting 4 years.
Right. Right.
I think that people don't understand that, you know, like when it comes to roads and like, you know, Vinny from Simpo about the road up by Costco and that's been in the works for 12 years for a 1 mile stretch, or we got a stoplight, it takes 3 years, or people don't understand how long it takes when you get permission or get the money to order it and you have to wait. I mean, and population's growing.
Foresight is needed. And what we've seen in Prescott is people have delayed over the last 10 years in terms of making necessary investment. And that's why we find Chief Dura right now needing a 10-year plan and a 10-year financing plan in order to keep ahead of the game, hopefully.
And we're excited because he's coming in
on
our next show.
Scott? Is that the way you understand that?
Yeah, absolutely. And we're no different. We were going to start raising the property tax rates in small increments back right before COVID because we knew we needed to hire more personnel in and get them on the engines. When COVID hit, the financial security of the community was too uncertain for us to move forward with that. Yep. So now at this point, we're 3 years behind where we should be in putting more personnel on the street. And I talked with the Fanes. I think I talked to both of you about this, but there's something called the ISO or Insurance Service Offices rating. Yep. And the last time we were reviewed, we went from a 3 to a 4. That's the wrong direction. Mm-hmm. 1's the best, 10's the worst, 3 and 4, close. But what you start seeing is that your insurance rates are going up. And we're already seeing it in the area, even without that bump in the ISO rating.
Right.
And the reason that our ISO rating went up, they said we don't have enough personnel to respond and we don't have enough deployable resources. So we have to make the change to hire the people that we need and to get the equipment that we need. And if you just take a step back and think for a moment about what's being built in Prescott Valley right now. And again, we can handle this. We showed we can.
Right.
But we can also be better prepared. And Legato's site will be wiped clean. They will start over again. We look forward to Fane Signature and that project coming back out of the ground. At the same time, we're looking at potentially 3 hotels under construction, additional apartment complexes, which are badly needed for housing in the area. We need another ladder truck before 4 years from now.
With
everything that's going on.
That brings up a good point, you know, because, you know, even if your property tax goes up, if it doesn't, then your insurance is going to go up. So either way, you're going to pay. And I'd rather have safety there and the firefighters there
rather
if I have a problem.
Than line the insurance company.
Exactly.
Yeah.
One quick thing I have to ask you is, I know we've talked about this several times about the ambulance service.
Right.
How are we doing on that? I know Mike, you know, is it Mike Beal, right? Beal?
Matt Beal.
I mean, Matt Beal. Yeah.
Matt Beal.
I know that he's priority one. And then, how's things going with that? I know you were trying to get your own.
So things are better. They're not perfect, but they're better with priority here. The way we have it established right now is the city of Prescott has an agreement with Lifeline AMR.
Okay.
That's the same company, parent company's AMR, to provide first out 911 coverage to the city of Prescott. We have kind of an unwritten agreement with priority to be in CAFMA's jurisdiction, our first out 911 service. And then we just received a favorable recommendation from the administrative law judge in our case. He recommended to the Bureau and Department of Health Services that we be issued a license to transport or CON for our area. That recommendation was issued on May 27th. The director of DHS now has 30 days from May 27th, so the end of April, to make
March,
a final determination.
March 27th.
Yes, March. Yeah, sorry. The end of March to make a decision. So, March 27th, end of April, right?
End of April.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah. I got my month screwed up.
You're good.
So by next week sometime, we expect to hear from the director. Now, historically, the director has gone with the recommendation of the administrative law judge, but we don't want to count our chickens before they're hatched, so to speak. So we'll see next week or the following week what the director says.
Right.
And how does that work, though? Like if, you know, I was talking to Matt not too long ago, like, you know, crossing over jurisdictions and stuff. How does that work with everybody? I mean, obviously, do they use whatever closest ambulance service is there? Or, I mean, how does it, do they work together too?
So the way it's established is Priority is actually a member within Prescott Regional Communications Center. So they are dispatched out of the dispatch center here in Prescott. Our dispatchers can see their units. They know where they are. They have comms with them. They use the same MDTs, the same automatic vehicle locators. So everything with Priority is aligned with our agency, our units. Lifeline is still dispatched out of Phoenix. So when Prescott Regional receives a 911 call, once they know it's medical, they hit a button and the call can be transferred then down to Phoenix. And they can't always see where the Lifeline units are because the AVL, there's glitches and things happen. So within our jurisdiction, if we're awarded the CON, it'll be closest ambulance response, Priority, or CAFMA, whichever unit is closest to the 911 call. We will seek a backup agreement with Lifeline AMR. And so what that would do is, let's say there's areas that we know of where we have contracts for service and areas that don't have contracts with us and they're not in the city or within our jurisdiction. Lifeline and Priority are the ones responsible for covering those areas. Well, if they're out and unable to respond with a backup agreement, we would be able to respond in and assist. Or good, with a backup agreement with Lifeline, if our unit was at YRMC West here in Prescott, and it was the closest unit to a life-threatening call, with that backup agreement, we could be dispatched to that to ensure the best possible care and service.
Well, great. It's good to know. I know a lot of people ask about that lot. So.
Yep.
It gets confusing how it all works. I mean, we understand it because we work in it day in, day out, but we're going to have a much more robust system here for the communities.
We need you guys to keep us safe. Thank you very much.
Thanks for coming today.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Thanks for having me on. I greatly appreciate the time.
Well, that was great talking to Scott Freetag about his leadership in terms of fire services and safety services for us here in Yavapai County or Central Arizona.
Yeah, we're very blessed to have such great fire chiefs and police chiefs. And I mean, they all work together. And it was just very enlightening to learn about the recent Legato fire.
Well done. You know, I really felt the degree of commitment and the capabilities that these people bring together. And a key piece of this is integrating police and fire across geographic areas. Scott certainly has his finger on the pulse there, and I believe we do with Holger Adura here in Prescott as well, and Amy Bonney, whose name came up several times.
Yeah, and it was interesting to find out that a lot of the firefighters that were dispatched that night or had facilitated everybody together were new to the job, which was, they did an impressive job over there.
Yep, apparently very new, some of them. They'd also just had training in terms of mid-rise facilities. So this was, you know, God working on our side from my perspective.
Yeah, that fire could have been a lot worse. It could have spread into the neighborhoods, into other buildings. Thankfully, it was raining that evening, and they were able to control it. One of the things that, you know, he brought up was, you know, having some live security on site maybe next time versus cameras, because, you know, the gentleman was, or female, whoever the perpetrator was, it was all covered up. So
No, I thought that was good. And they just had a new facility walkthrough as well. So people on the fire department were very familiar with the new build. So lots of good stuff there.
And I think one last thing to recap this whole conversation is, you know, we really need to support our police and fire. I know people don't like taxes, but like he said, our rating is changing and it affects your insurance. So would you rather pay property tax and give it directly to the fire department, or would you rather have it go to an insurance company that's making profit?
Well, from my standpoint, that's easy. You put the money towards the new equipment and the new people that you need to be able to support your service at a much better level. That's an easy one. While we're thinking of it, next week we're going to have Chief Holger Dura here from Prescott come in. He runs the fire service here, and he's the one that's got a 10-year plan with over $100 million in terms of expenditures. And we're going to talk with the chief about what he's going to bring everybody for that amount of money, which will go into a new tax.
Thanks for tuning in.
You've been listening to Eye on Prescott. We adore living here, and we want to be your voice to ask the tough questions, hold officials accountable, and you'll never hear us running from a debate. We hope you've enjoyed the show. If you did, make sure to like, rate, and review. We'll be back soon on Eye on Prescott.
The preceding commentary program has been paid for by Ian Prescott, which is solely responsible for its content. Greetings, I'm Chad DeVries from Prescott Luxury Realty and Investments, and I am thrilled to extend a warm invitation to you. Join us at Solstice Ridge 2 in Prescott Lakes, an exclusive gated community that redefines luxury living. Tour our model homes and receive a free VIP pass to our upcoming April 28th spectacular private event from 3 to 5 p.m. featuring the world-renowned Spanish guitarist Esteban. Tickets are limited and are on a first-come, first-served basis. Go to our website, solsticeridgeprescott.com, or call 928-764-7581 for further information.